You know, tonight's a special night because we are talking about our commitment to purity. Tonight we're talking about what we've been talking about the past couple weeks. I know we've been in 1 Corinthians 13 talking about love and true love and all of that good stuff. So tonight we're wrapping everything up tonight. Pastor Michelle, myself, and we're going to wrap up our Summer Love series. Now, you know, for those of us who are new or newer to the Rock Youth, you know, every once in a while we do these services called remixes where we change everything up. We kind of flip everything around and we have some special things in store for you guys. And that's what tonight is. Tonight's a remix where we have junior high, senior high together. And we just want to share a word with you guys because I know our junior high, all my junior high people with Donnie, you guys have been learning about the true meaning of what love really is. And in the same way, us in senior high, we've been learning the same thing. And we've been learning about who God's created you to be as a man, as a woman, how to know where you stand in the maturity that you have in relationships, different things like that. And of course, we've all been talking about what love really is. Love is personal self-sacrifice. Love is you giving of yourself to make another person's life better. And anything short of that is not God's kind of love. So as we jump into the word today, I want to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into this. So Father God, thank you tonight for all that you've done in our lives. God, thank you tonight, Father God, for the goodness of the cross. God, we know that real love was displayed on the cross. Real love was displayed 2,000 years ago on a little hill called Calvary. So God, tonight, Father, in our relationships, Father God, with our friends, with our family, Lord God, with every person you bring in front of us, God, we pray that you would show us how to love them as you've loved us. Because Father, the truth is this, is if we can't even love our family, God, if we can't even love our friends, God, then how can we expect to love one day a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, or a wife, God? So Father, today I pray that you would show us what true love is. God, that you would allow us to see how much you've loved us so that we can love those around us. And God, tonight as we pray, Father, we don't just pray for each and every person in this room, God, but we pray for the other youth ministries in the Inland Empire and even around the world, God. Father, if they're talking about Jesus, if they're lifting up your name, God, we ask that you'd bless them and everything they do, Father, whether they're meeting tonight, tomorrow, yesterday, Sunday, whatever it is, God, we ask that you'd bless Emmanuel Baptist and Trinity, God, that you'd bless Wildwood, Father God, and San Bernardino Community, God, that you would bless Ecclesia as well as Abundant Living, God. Father, we ask that you'd bless them all. But those named and unnamed, God, because we recognize that we're all working together to get this generation to know who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And God, as we pray these things, we all pray them in your name. And everybody in the house said, amen. All right, well, let's get into this. Now like I mentioned, last couple weeks we were talking about these things. Now, tonight, I want to share a little bit, and then I want Pastor Michelle to come up here, and she's going to share a little bit with you guys, too, because tonight we're making a commitment. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do in church, and one of the things that's the most tempting to do is to become a spectator. I mean, it's so true. It's so easy to think church is coming into a building, sitting in a chair, and trying not to fall asleep while somebody talks to you for a little bit. And church can become like that so many times. But the truth is this, is you come into this place to hear God's words so you can leave this place changed. And a lot of times, change doesn't happen until you make a decision, until you leave this place saying, you know what, my life is going to distinctly be different than the way I came in. You know, that's the prayer we pray every evening. Before we have service, the youth workers and I, we gather up in the youth cafe and we pray for you guys. You know, every morning, every evening, you know, all these old people in the back, your youth workers are praying for you guys to be changed from the inside out. And tonight is your opportunity to be changed. You know, and tonight is your opportunity to make a commitment to stand up for what's right. You know, this is one of the most difficult decisions I think a young person can make in the world today, because everything this world says is different than what God says about relationships, about sex, about physical relationships. Everything the world says is the exact opposite. Everything the school system says is the exact opposite. And you know what? That's not unusual because God's been saying strange things. God's been saying difficult things ever since time began. You know, a lot of times we need to change our ways to be like God's ways. You know, and today if you're making this commitment, which you need to, if you're not, I mean, if you had any sense within you, you would make a commitment to do things God's way with relationships. If you're thinking, Pastor Richard, I've never had a boyfriend before. Well, one day you will. And it's good that you make this decision now. If you're thinking, Pastor Richard, I don't know about you, but I've already made a lot of bad decisions. Well, you know what? Now is a good time to start making good decisions. Because it's never too late when it comes to God. You know, today, if you have air inside of your lungs, it's not too late. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn everything around. Today, God's been waiting for you patiently to make the right decisions. And you know, one thing I've noticed is I've made a lot of decisions. I've made a lot of commitments. You know, just a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, I remember walking up to my wife and saying, "Hun, I need to be a changed man. I need to change my ways." I said, "Hun, I'm not drinking any more sodas. Today I had a Coke and a vanilla Coke. And I'm going to tell you, I want another one right now." And we make commitments all the time. But when it comes to something this important, not the soda, you know, whatever. All right, cool. All right, I just got to brush really good tonight. Okay. But when it comes to your heart and when it comes to your body, when it comes to the destiny God's put in front of you, this is a commitment that's got to stick. Because I'm going to tell you this, your future depends on it. Pastor Richard, you're just dramatizing rising it, you know? I don't know. That's the San Bernardino school system right there. Pastor Richard, you're just making a big deal of this. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt nobody. No. I'm telling you this. Your future depends on this. I can't tell you how many teenagers I've seen sidelined because they didn't take this seriously. I can't tell you how many destinies I've seen postponed because they didn't take this seriously. I can't see how many lives destroyed, hearts broken, how many tears have been shed because people didn't take this commitment seriously. I'm going to tell you this, young people. You can do this your way, you can do this God's way. I'm going to tell you, God's way may be more difficult at times, but it's a lot better than doing it my way or your way. You know, tonight, you guys have a decision to do things God's way when it comes to purity, saving yourself from marriage, or making a decision from this point on to do things pure in your relationships. And you know, the only way it's going to happen is if you make a plan. You know, anything in your life, you got to make a plan, work a plan. If you're writing notes, this would be number one. You got to make a plan, work a plan. Pastor Jim, for the past 15 years has been telling me that. Pastor Richard, he says, buddy, you got to make a plan, you got to work a plan. If you are going to make a commitment tonight, which I'm confident you are, if you say, I want to do things God's way, then you have to make a plan now. Because I'm going to tell you this, if you're there and she's there and, you know, it's just kind of, you know, getting a little crazy, then that's not the time to make a plan. Because that's the last thing you'll be thinking about is, what did Pastor Richard say? Hold on one second, honey. Let me get my iPhone and look at those notes from July. Oh, you know what? I think we gotta stop. No. No, now. You gotta make a plan. How far is too far? Yeah, you gotta make that decision now. Otherwise, you're gonna find out the wrong way. You have to make the decision. Say, okay, you know, what do I want my future girlfriend, spouse to look like? What do I want my future husband, boyfriend to look like? Now, I want them to be respectful. I want, you know, what am I looking for? Because you have to make a plan. If you don't plan before, then it's not gonna work. That's why if you play sports, that's why you have practice before you actually play a game. You don't practice during the game, or you're going to lose. Now it's time to practice. How far is too far? If you have parents that are believers, you need to talk to your parents and ask them, how far is too far? You know, you need to ask them, you know, what do you think I should be looking for? You know, you say, Mom, how did you know when you found the one? What mistakes did you make that I can learn from? You need to make a plan. And you need to answer these questions. What am I going to and not going to do? Because then you'll know when you're going too far. Then you'll know. You know, when I was dating Michelle, you know, before we were married, we made a plan and we said, look, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to be alone after this time. We're going to make sure that we do these things in public. And you know what? We know that this is the line and we're not going to cross it. And that's what kept our relationship pure. I'm going to tell you, that's why this November we're going to have 10 years of marriage. Because we made a plan. You know, even now in our marriage, we have a plan. There's things that I will not do. There's places I will not go. There's people I will not talk to in different situations. Why? Because I want to keep this marriage. I want to celebrate 50 years one day of marriage. I have a plan, and it's going to happen. And because I have a plan, and I'm not waiting to get into trouble. You need to make a plan. You know what? You know, we talked about last week in Proverbs that people die because they have no vision. And your purity will fail if you don't make a plan. You need to make a plan and say, look, this is where the line is drawn. I knew one guy, and they had a 1 foot rule. The rule was you had to make sure 1 foot was always on the ground at the same time. It was both feet. It was 2 feet. It was a 2 foot rule. If we make sure both of our feet are on the ground at all times, that way they don't end up on a bed together because, you know, both feet got to be on the ground. You know what I'm saying? And that was their rule. That was their plan. And it worked. They did it for 6 years. And they kept it clean. They kept it pure. And that's the truth. Dang. Brother, better than me, you know? I couldn't last 6 years. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, you got to establish the boundaries. And then you got to value your purity. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you don't value your purity, you'll find somebody else that will not value your purity. You need to value it. If you don't take it seriously, nobody else will. Nobody else will. If people make jokes about you, you need to shut it down. If people make you feel inferior because you feel like you're making a bad decision, you need to shut it down. Tell them, don't you dare talk about me like that. If somebody wants to push your boundaries, if somebody wants to try to pressure you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, if somebody, you know, begins, you know, you shut it down because you need to value it. If you don't value it, nobody else will. And if you take it seriously, then other people will take it seriously. I mean, it may lose you friends. It may lose you a potential boyfriend or girlfriend. But I'm going to tell you this. If you lose a potential boyfriend or girlfriend because they don't value your purity, your choices, your decisions to do things God's way, you don't want them anyway. You don't want them. So you need to value these decisions you're making. Look, if it's not important, you'll give it away anyway. I mean, there's things that are valuable to me that I won't let people borrow. I won't let people use these things. If they do, I want money down. Because if you break it, sucker, I'm gonna take it to the bank and you ain't getting it back. You know, because it's valuable to me. And the same thing needs to be with your purity, with your body. Because the truth is, we talked about this last week, is your body doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to God. So why would you give something away that doesn't even belong to you? You need to value it. It needs to become something that's important to life to you, as life to you. So you need to guard and value yourself. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, if you have it, go to put up there. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, the Bible says this. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does outside his body is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and you do not belong to yourself? You are not your own. You see, your heart is where God desires to live. So don't trash his home. Don't give it away and value your purity. And then lastly is, if you commit, you need to stick to it. You need to stick to it. If you're going to make a commitment, stick to it. If you mess up, all right, then get back on track. But if you're going to commit to this, you need to stick to it. Every day you need to begin to live and change the way you think. Change the things you put in front of your face. You need to change the places you go. Maybe some of you in this place even need to change the people you hang out with. But you need to commit to this. You know, it's got to stick. It's got to stick. It can't be a one day, a 1 week thing. It can't be a phase you go through. You know, I remember about 10 years ago, I was in a car with a friend that I knew from elementary school, and they knew I was a Christian, and they were talking, about these other friends we had known, and they said, oh yeah, and you know, they knew I was a Christian. I said, oh yeah, I remember Phil. I said, oh yeah, yeah, he was a Christian. He went through that phase, and now he's not. See, if you believe in who God is, if you call yourself a Christian, it can't be a phase. It's not something you do while you're in high school and then you get to college. It can't be something that's here today and gone tomorrow. It's got to be a commitment. You know, and my relationship with my wife is not a phase. This is do or die, sucker. Ride or die, fool. I mean, you either do this or you're not. I mean, look, let's be real. I'm in it to win it. I'm not taking second place when it comes to relationships. I want the trophy. I want the gold. I'm going home with the prize because I'm not putting up with anything less than what God has for me. And every day I wake up and I have to remind myself of these commitments I make because I'm sticking to it. I don't get a vacation from being pure. I don't get a break. I don't get a celebrity pass. I don't get any of these things. Because you know what? I am doing this for life. Because it's not just about me. It's about my wife. It's about my kids. It's about my future. You guys, it's about your future. One day when you get a wife, one day when you get a husband, one day when you have children, one day when you have a job and all these different things, if you make these decisions right now, it'll set you up for a changed life. Hey, I want to go ahead and show you guys this video real quick because we need to wrap up the saga, the finale of Two Lovebirds, Kevin and Lisa. So let's go ahead and roll this real quick, and then Pastor Michelle's going to come up here and do her thing. Roll it.
Kevin Arnold, you stud muffin, you wooer of the ladies. There is not one woman not susceptible to your charm, your masculinity. But alas, despite your ability to gain the heart of any lady, you have but one on your heart, Lisa. There comes a time in every man's life, no matter how bacheloresque he is, he needs to settle down. Settle down with just one woman and kiss his single days goodbye. Today was my day.
So Lisa and I have been hanging out a lot lately. I think we're taking it to the next step. Dude, are you talking about third base?
What?
What?
You know about my purity commitment. What's wrong with you?
Well, you're the one that's at the next level.
Yeah, I was going to ask her to be my girlfriend.
Oh, well, you need to work on your communication skills.
So, what are you guys doing today?
Hey, why don't you guys go to Waterman Point with us?
Isn't that like a makeout point?
It's more than that, my friend. Kevin, you've been to Waterman Point, haven't you?
Of course I have. Who hasn't, right?
Are you crazy? Why are you trying to impress this sleazeball? You haven't even held a girl's hand before.
Well, I've never been there, and I wouldn't want to go.
Well, no one invited you, Paul. You'll be there tonight, right, Kev?
Yeah, of course. Right, Lisa?
I guess so.
You big fool. Now you've done it. What was supposed to be a nice evening out with your future girlfriend is quickly turning into Sleazeball City, and you're the mayor.
I can't believe you agreed to go and try to impress that jerk. You know, you've never been there, and you never even held a girl's hand before.
My point exactly. Kevin Arnold, you sleazeball. You deceptible little jerk. Get on the phone and call Lisa and tell her about your promise to God. Tell her that you respect her too much to bring her there. Look at you. You're sweating profusely. Get some guts, man. March out of this bathroom and tell the truth.
Lisa?
You need to talk.
Let me go first. Sorry, I said I was going to take you to that sleazy place. Never set my foot in there. In fact, I made a promise to God to save myself from marriage.
Me too, that's what I came here to
say. Lisa, will you be my girlfriend?
Attaboy! Yeah. That day, Lisa became my girlfriend. But that day, I also became a man. A real man. A man who is not after my own selfish desires, but a man after God's heart.
Kevin and Lisa, the saga finally ends. Okay, well, my name is Pastor Michelle, so I am Pastor Richard's wife, and I'm the girl part of this whole service, so I'm going to share a girl's point of view, because you guys have been listening to only guys, right? So I want to talk about purity for a second, because I want you guys to know is I grew up in church. I grew up in children's ministry and then in youth and stuff. And, you know, I kept my purity till we got married. And you may be saying, wow. Oh, I thought it was like, you know, like this was like, you know, fairy tales. Like I didn't know that really happened. No, it really happens. Okay. And you guys can do it too. And it's only because I was planted in this church and I made a commitment in this church that happened. And you ought to not be ashamed of your purity, but you ought to stand up for it. You ought to treat it like a trophy and not something that you're ashamed of. Because the world looks down on it and they try to make you look foolish. Maybe because of movies that you've seen or even the music and all these songs. I can barely even listen to the radio without every other word being bleeped out about doing something to somebody else in the club. All of it's in the club. Everything's in the club. I could write a song called In the Club and I will be on MTV next week. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay? That's the truth, right? But I want you to know that it's not easy. Just because you come to church and you serve God doesn't make life easy. And just because you make a commitment to purity, you think that you know, that you're not going to have to make tough decisions. And you think that no temptation is going to come at you, but that's wrong. In fact, it's even harder because it's a battle. This isn't a game, this decision, but it's actually a battle where you are protecting your purity almost as a trophy that you can present to your spouse on that night of your wedding. And it's a beautiful and it's an amazing thing. But see, it takes work. And don't think that you can't do it. Just because it's a battle doesn't mean that you have to give up and lose, but you can do it. You can make those decisions. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians, let's go ahead and put that verse up there. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So it doesn't say that temptation is going to go away. If you think that you making a commitment tonight will take away your entire sex drive, you are wrong. Okay? At some point in your life, you have to get zapped with hormones, and it just so happens to be this time of your life. So if you think about sex, you are not a freak. You are not a weirdo. You've been zapped with hormones, and your body's changing, and that's how God has designed it. God designed sex. The devil did not design sex, okay? Did you guys know that? Everybody knows that? All right, but what the devil has done in this world is he's tainted it and he's perverted it and he's made it something that's very common, which God says very specifically in Genesis, and we can go ahead and put that up there in 2:24. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. To his wife. To your husband. That's who it is. That's who it's for. And it will be tough. But like I said, this is something that you get to present to your spouse. And I want to read you guys, remember we were talking about books. This book is on sale outside in the foyer. But I want to read you guys a little paragraph out of it. Because like I said, it's not going to be easy. And I'm sure that you've already heard stories about your friends doing this and your friends doing that. Which half of it is probably lies. But either way, sometimes you feel like, gosh, well, am I missing out on something? No, you're not. You're saving yourself for your husband, for your wife. And maybe you feel like, gosh, is it worth it? But listen to this. Listen to this. It says this about people maybe who are in the world and they've given up their purity. It says, in an effort to deny the damage that has been done in their lives through casual sex, most people must not only keep telling themselves that they're okay, but that they must also put down anyone who's doing it right. This is why the world sneers at those who are saving themselves for marriage. They can't stand the idea that some people are holding on to the trophy of purity when theirs are long gone. You see, those who've maybe lost their purity, lost their virginity, have been having casual sex with whomever, they look down on those who've been keeping it because they feel guilty and they feel bad. And this book goes on to say, losers like to pretend that they don't care about trophies. They like to say things like, it doesn't matter to me. We're just friends with benefits. It's no big deal. I'm not attached to him, you know, and emotionally, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's just sex. And that's not the case. Because you do get attached to that person. That's how God has designed it. He's designed it for you to have with your husband and your wife. And that's why when you have sex with somebody and you try to move on from them, it's hard to, because you were always designed to have sex with one person, your husband and your wife. That's it. And that's why it's so hard to move past a relationship that you've made mistakes in. Now, some of you in this room have made mistakes, okay? And I'm not trying to bash you. We're going to get to that later. But I'm talking to the ones who are holding on to it, because I was there. And sometimes you feel like, you know, you're the loner, like, hello, is anybody else here? Okay, but you're not. You're not. And value it. And make it like a trophy that you are fighting for, because it won't be easy. It's not going to be easy.